But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the GDC.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. I'm going to go into specific things about any tools and stuff. So I think the general GBC thing would be very important.
Hare Krishna.
Can I just say,
go ahead.
I heard this morning, I was talking to Manashampuru, and he was indicating that in reality, the GBC there is not really playing a part in the region, what I speak of, the actual farm itself. So the GBC participation, it's a very real issue that a lot of our farms are suffering from, the leadership and actually helping them. And particularly your comments last night, that really a farm can't work in isolation. It has to work as a national identity, almost as a national project, almost suggesting the central project.
Yeah.
So leadership and farms, it's a very key issue that's affecting all our farms. Sorry, Mark.
So let me leave the details of the resolutions to Shyamasundar Prabhu to discuss and explain. They were what we started talking about last year with Balabhadra Prabhu, and then formulated with his good wife. And since he couldn't come because of health concerns, so he asked. I'm always talking at the GBC body, so better that I'm not the one who's just always speaking. So Shyamasundar came and made a presentation. And the result of that are certain resolutions that he will talk about and how. And they're also accepted by our Euro GBC as well, on paper. He'll explain what those are. The real purpose was to achieve what was just mentioned a minute ago, more involvement, participation. Of course, involvement and participation don't really happen by legislation, but at least legislation can help or oblige where sort of voluntary, where it doesn't happen voluntarily. I'm not speaking too fast. Translators. And there is a... I think it was last night I was sitting speaking with Shyamasundar. I'm not a farmer. I don't know about farming. I don't know about gardening. But I do know where food comes from. So it's inconceivable to me that devotees think that this is impractical or it's obsolete or that we're beyond producing food and taking care of cows and having milk because that's what life's about. So to argue about that, whether someone doesn't necessarily have to be a master themselves, but to support it, it starts off with being common sense. And then over and beyond that, it develops into actually our Dharma. In other words, you can't have Sanatana Dharma, you can't have Krishna consciousness without supporting the principles upon which we live and maintain ourselves, which is eating, cooking, and ultimately not to be slaves of the greater society, which is just really based on the ill of Kali Yuga. And let me just emphasize that by sort of recounting a couple of points or pastimes about probably the most prominent pastime of Krishna that's in Srimad Bhagavatam, which highlights the importance of the cow, of agriculture, not just in terms of philosophy. Narada Muni talks about it and others speak about it, but it takes up many, many chapters, and that's the whole Govardhan Leela. more or less Govardhan Lila is all about cow protection agriculture. And whereas this pastime happened 5,000 years ago, but it appears that the whole mentality that's similar or synonymous with modern mentality, where we think that consumerism is more important than actually care of both the cows and the land, was already there. So when Krishna was out in he was out tending the cows, and this whole pastime between the wives of the Brahmins, the yogic Brahmins, they wouldn't provide Krishna with food. Finally, the wives did, and so there was a nice exchange between Krishna and the wives, and the cowherd boys were all fed. And then as they were going home from that, in the same village where the yogic Brahmins, what they were doing and they were preparing the yajna for the Indra yajna. That's what it was all about. And Krishna stumbled across this, and he asked Nanda Maharaj, what's going on? And of course he knew what was going on because they did it every year. So it was in the fall, it was the ritual of worshipping Indra. But and then you know the pastime, but Krishna got extremely offended. He got offended that first of all, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men were depending on Indra rather than him. And then he gives these arguments that you're worshipping demigods, and for us in terms of our modern context, demigods could represent industry, business, consumerism. That this whole idea, well, yeah, obviously, and even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ishtan Bhoga Niradeva, that the demigods, they provide the necessities of life. But then Krishna says, no, the necessities of life, we're not dependent on the demigods. He says, they have to provide it anyway. And of course, he gives some atheistic arguments as to why they have to provide it. But the reason why they have to provide is because he says they have to provide it. And when does Krishna say they have to provide? He says, if you worship the cows, he says, forget about this Indra Yajna, and we should worship the cows, and we should worship Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill means agriculture, because Govardhan Hill was pasture, and whatever gardening and everything else that was required, Govardhan Hill is representative of that, all the herbs and vegetables, fruits, water. So Govardhan Hill means all of these other natural things. And so he said, no, you just worship these two things. And then after that he added, and then on top of that we should worship the Brahmins, because you don't want to cut the Brahmins out of any type of thing. And forget about this guy, Indra. And then that's what happened. And I'll just describe, because in Srimad Bhagavatam there's not much description of Go Puja. But the way it went is this happened on Diwali. This whole thing happened Diwali evening. And then the next morning, they all gathered and they went from Manasiganga, where they were all camped out, and they went to that whole area which is now called Aniyur, and that's where they had yajna. Krishna told them you should have fire yajna, and then he showed them how to worship the cows. They worshiped the calves, they worshiped the cows, and they worshiped the bulls. So what Krishna did, because sometimes you hear this thing that this Gopuja is not a bona fide thing, so Krishna said, you can't worship the whole herd, it's too complex. Besides, there's millions of cows. He says, so he took out of the calves, he took out a few of the cows and the bulls, one representative, and then they would decorate them with handprints, feed them. All of the animals were all fed special grasses and other kinds of goodies. They were decorated with garlands. Then they did arti to them, full arti to the animals. Then they circumambulated the animals. And at the end, they pay dandavats to the north. And then Krishna showed the example to do that. And then when it was finished, then they worshipped the cowherd men. So then there was a puja for the cowherd men, and they did a similar thing. They brought all clothes, new clothes for the cowherd boys, and some of the elder cowherd men, they garland, they did the same thing. Our foot wash, arti, and then they circumambulated them, then everyone paid obeisances because the cow, what do you do with the cow without cowherd men, then what do the cows do? So the cows are dependent on the cowherd men. And then the cowherd men therefore pay that really essential ingredient in the performance or the supplying of the necessities of life and fulfilling our duties in a real Varnashram, Sanatan Dharma community. So then there was the worship of the cow, but it was interesting that just like they did this, just like they do to the cows, it seems like gopis came into the backs of the cowherd boys. They also made these marks on the backs, on their backs as well. And of course they all wanted to do it to Krishna's back. and then they fed everyone. First they fed the Brahmins and everyone else that was there, from animals, dogs, on up to anyone who was present. So many servants came. And then the cowherd men ate, and then they started the parikrama. So it for me it was really quite interesting to see how Krishna was, in other words, he was already reforming something that was there in Vedic times with his own associates. He was already reforming the tendency not to depend on the cows and the land, but to actually, although they were working with the cows and the land, but they already thought that this is dependent on someone else, that there's something else that we need in order to make this work. And without that, the cows won't have grass. And the cow, Krishna says, no, as long as you please the cows, as long as you do this agriculture and you please me, I'll make sure. And if for some reason the demigods, which is what Indra tried to do, Indra cut out of the picture altogether. It didn't affect the cowherd men at all because Krishna stepped in. So the point was that even though logistically, in terms of the demigods being the direct suppliers of the necessities of life, even if they're not willing to cooperate, Krishna will directly take responsibility and he'll step in. So now to ISKCON, where, you know, there's a doubt. Does farming work? Does cow protection work? Is this really what we should be concentrating on instead of preaching and spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? Because we're sort of more experienced at that, and it's easier for people to do because we're all used to living in cities. So we'd rather do things that we can do in cities than do things outside. And it's a similar type of message. Srila Prabhupada, again, he was neither a farmer nor a cowherdman, but he was one and one is two. Unless you do this, you don't eat. And or you eat the type of really unhealthy foods that you eat nowadays, or the milk that you drink is connected to slaughtering animals. And you got nothing, no argument to say to the vegans, because they're right. So we stand on no ground when it comes to consuming outside milk products. Purpose. give us the opportunity to speak about it. Even that was, I think, more important than what's on paper. And now that it's on paper, it gives an opportunity to speak about it more. It's something that we can keep revisiting in farming isn't, and self-sufficiency isn't something that's on the wane and has gone from since book distributions. As a result of that, we have a half day on the GBC where we're just dedicated to speaking about developing book distribution. I propose that this is something that we should do also. Let's just keep talking about it. If you keep talking about something, if you keep pushing something on a global level, on a continental level, and then in terms of the different yatras that you're in, something will happen. If you cry enough, if you complain enough, if you communicate enough, sooner or later, because we're talking to Vaishnavas, then I think it will have an effect. So what we really need to do is these laws that Shyamasundara Prabhu will explain about, we need to use as instruments to, you know, put up and be able to sit down and talk to temple presidents and GBCs and national councils and say whether, you know, they believe it or not. Prabhupada said this, and it's not, you know, it's not just that Prabhupada said, there are a lot of people who are very respectable people within the society, whether they be economists or people who are dealing with ecology, climatology, so many, that things are going to implode. This system is not continuing. This way in which society is being run is not going to maintain like this. And at least we should be able to feed ourselves. If we can't feed, Prabhupada said we should be able to feed millions. But at least we should be able to feed ourselves. But even just backing off, from that, one of the first statements of Srimad Bhagavatam states that being over-dependent on the on other people's mercy decreases the duration of your life. So that's already in the first, one of the first 10, 12 verses of the Bhagavatam, and it's repeated. So when we as Vaishnavas live in a way when our life depends upon the mercy of merciless people, of atheistic, materialistic people, it compromises our spiritual values, like we got nothing to say to the vegans, except for the fact that, well, we offer it to Krishna and Krishna frees us from all karmic reaction. That doesn't stop the animals from going to the slaughterhouse, but anyway, it's some kind of answer. So, we're dependent on a social structure which is destined to implode. And what the other part is, it decreases the duration of your life. So if we take this literally, we're living shorter lives depending on this outside world than when we learn how to sustain ourselves in our farming communities. And then, as Prabhupada said, provide the ghee, provide the milk, provide the vegetables for the temples and the restaurants, which means that we give everyone quality food. And we're not responsible for the type of karma that we're taking on, because we're taking on karma. The argument can be there that preaching burns up all karma. The answer would be you'd have to analyze what level of preaching that requires to burn it up. I'm not so convinced that the level of preaching ISKCON is doing is burning up all the karma that it's absorbing from being dependent on this Kali Yuga society. Maybe if our book distribution was 20 times what it was in Prabhupada's day, and if we were just making tons and tons of devotees, and I don't know, prime ministers were chanting Hare Krishna in different countries, you could say that we're burning up the karma. But it doesn't seem to be that that's the level of preaching that's going on, so it's not necessarily freeing us from the reaction and just from the involvement that we're so closely, intricately involved in this outside world that we're meant to change. And so as in this Govardhan Leela, Krishna showed us that even then, 5,000 years ago, he had to reform the psychology of the Vajrasattvas. And that it's just exclusively cows, land, and Krishna. So actually, the real order is Krishna, land, and the cows, but it's those three things, and then the Brahmins. So if we have those properly there, then things will work, because they'll work with Krishna's blessings. It may have really been questionable, you know, how are we going to... And it was, the cowherdmen saw all of a sudden thunder and lightning and the waters rising up and the lands disappearing and their houses are submerged in water. But it didn't matter. Krishna stepped in and he just saved. So even though it may not appear to make sense how this sort of cow protection, agriculture and everything else works, but by Krishna's mercy, everything can work. Everything can be worked out in the balance. And that's what we really need to do and communicate to leaders. And rather than them seeing that, well, it's my obligation, how am I going to spend 10% of my time on a farm, or my farm's too small, or I got other things to do. But if there's no farm, then talk about it, and come and visit others' farms. We're speaking yesterday evening that maybe we should just start that, just have a meeting, not only for those who are working on the farm, but actually for the GBCs and the Euro GBCs and temple presidents. So, because ultimately the vision needs to come from them. Okay, tell us what to do, where to go. Right now we're sort of working from bottom up, but it should be coming from top down. So that's another step. And so you shouldn't be discouraged by the... need to just sort of communicate, start a revolution, whatever it takes, and just communicate that to the devotees. And we're trying to do that in different ways of some way or another reinstituting the importance of what Prabhupada called it's our most important project. And Prabhupada said many things are most important. He said deity worship is most important, Gurukula is most important, book distribution is most important. So they're all most important. But this one is most important because all of the others implode if you don't eat. All of the others are important as long as you're living and you're eating. And when you don't eat, then you don't distribute books, you don't worship deities, you don't do anything. So it's really sort of ABC. And this is why Shyama Sundar Prabhu and Balabhadra Prabhu are pushing this thing, consuming. It's a problem. I see it here. It's not that, you know, in Hungarian Yatra, all our temples are consuming the products that are growing here at the farm. But just this fidelity that this is it's for us a religious principle to consume the foods grown on our farms. It's more expensive, it's not practical, it doesn't make sense. It's not practical to worship deities. You're spending tons of money on garlands, so much money on importing bhoga from all over the world. People will say you're worshipping these idols. It's a phenomenal amount of money. But that's what our religion's all about. So this is what our religion is about. Krishna is explaining this word. Our religion is go brahmanya hitaya cha. You have to worship the cows. It's a religious principle. It may cost more. Our bhoga may cost more. But it's our religion. So it's not an issue of does it cost more or less. That's what it is. That's what deity worship costs, so we do it. And if in time we work at it and we have that type of enthusiasm, then the enthusiasm, I think, will wear off. And the leadership who know that it should happen, they'll also get the inspiration to figure out how to make it happen and to sort of redivest or redirect their energies into developing our farming communities. I mean, I could say more, but I think that's That's what we really need to concentrate on.